turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we want to look beginning at verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have to meditate in thy word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you might teach us, Lord, that we might be able to teach others. And Father, we just pray that your spirit would just guide our hearts and our minds now. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is addressing the church in the city of Corinth, a church with all kinds of problems. It was a church that had all kinds of family problems, all kinds of drinking problems, all kinds of immorality type of problems, and these were a group of people who really needed help from the Lord to get on their feet and to be established in the things of Christ. And so Paul is writing to encourage them, before he lets them have it later on in the book, by the way. But he writes, first of all, to encourage them and to teach them how to be an encouragement to others. He has just described, as we looked at last time in verse 3, God to be a Father of mercies, a source of all mercy and compassion. He's also described God as the God of all comfort. God is the source of every ounce of spiritual comfort that we get. It comes from Him. And now what we want to look at this evening is why God allows us to suffer in the first place. The purpose of trials. And it's real plain in verse 4. He says, God comforts us in all our tribulation, and here's why. So that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble. By the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, Paul had been a beneficiary of God's comfort and consolation through his many trials. And now Paul is explaining to us that God's purpose in allowing him to go through all those deep waters and difficult times was not just so that God could minister to Paul. That's very short-sighted. Yes, God did minister to Paul's heart in those times. In fact, Christ even appeared to Paul personally and spoke to him. But now, Paul tells us that God had a deeper purpose in mind. God was working in Paul's heart so Paul would know how to minister to others who were going through difficult times. And Paul says here that we may be able, that we may be made able, that we may have the capacity, that God might equip us to be able to minister to others. And so what Paul is speaking about here is a divine enablement. This is a spiritual gift. This is something that is supernatural that God gives to us. And the only way we can ever get this kind of spiritual gift is when we go through those difficult times. And so Paul states here that as he experienced trials, God was preparing him for service, for future service. And nothing equips us to be able to minister to people in trouble than trouble itself. And you know, this is a great way for us to view the trials that we are called to endure. This is a wonderful way to look at the difficult chapters in our life's history. That God is preparing us for ministry. That we are in God's great university. He is equipping us to comfort others. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to endure trials in order to help others? You see, helping others always involves sacrifice. If we're really going to help somebody else in a meaningful way, it's got to be more than just saying a few little sweet words. It involves sacrifice. And here, God is saying that if we're really going to be able to minister to people who are hurting in a meaningful way, we've got to pay the price. We have to endure those same kinds of troubles and trials ourselves. Now, anybody can offer some comfort to somebody going through a trial, but the one who's been there, the one who's been through that very same kind of trouble and came through victoriously, is better equipped than anybody to provide help and do it more effectively. Turn for a minute to 1 Peter chapter 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Thou shalt not add unto the word of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Look what Peter has to say about what God expects of us to do with that equipment that he's given us. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. If you've received a grace gift from God, it can be any kind of a grace gift, any kind of a divine enablement to minister. That's what a grace gift is. And he says, as we have all, every one of us, we've received some kind of a grace gift from God. And if we have this kind of a grace gift, then we are accountable and responsible to minister that grace gift to someone else as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. One example of this is when we endure trials. And when we go through a trial and God gives us victory and God helps us and God gives us comfort and God encourages us, he is equipping us. And we have learned a valuable lesson, and as such we are stewards of that and responsible to use that valuable asset for others. What are we going to do with that valuable thing that we've learned? That important lesson we've learned when we went through a trial. Are we going to bury it? Are we going to bury that talent? The Lord gives us a parable to teach us how wrong that is, how short-sighted that is, how selfish that is. No, we're not to bury those things that God gives us and expects us to use for his glory, but rather we're to utilize it. And when we go through trials and difficult times, those lessons that we are given, that divine enablement that God gives us to help others, God expects us to use it. He expects us to invest it for his glory. You see, trouble is God's school for the saint. It trains us, it equips us, it qualifies us to serve him as nothing else can. And you know, a well-trained theologian, with all of his degrees in theology and all the rest, with a whole host of Bible verses at the tip of his finger, ready to be used at any time he wants, why, he can certainly give comfort to someone in trouble. But he can't even be compared to the kind of help that someone who has had leukemia can be to another brother or sister in Christ who's going through that same thing. Now, he may know more Bible verses, and he may have more up here, and he may be sincere, and he may really want to help, but nobody can help in quite the same way and in quite with the same amount of effectiveness as somebody who's really been there. And so we're stewards. When we've been there, when we've learned these lessons, this is a valuable asset that God has given us. It's a grace gift, and he expects us to use it for others, for their edification. It's a divine enablement, not to be hoarded, but to be used for others. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when one member of the body suffers, then all the members suffer with it. That means that when one member of the body of Christ is suffering, then we all have a responsibility to try to help, to try to comfort that individual. We share as cells in the same body, members of the same body, to try to help. But when somebody has been through the very same exact situation, the same kind of sickness, the same kind of financial stress, the same kind of family problems, the same kind of emotional problems, when you've been there and someone else is going through it, you are more responsible to help. Because God has given you specialized equipment, and He expects us to use it. You see, as stewards of anything that God gives us, we're responsible for that stewardship. And God holds stewards accountable. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, verse 11, Peter says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." And here's why. "So that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." You see, God gets glory when God teaches a saint, and that saint passes on that God-given helpful information to comfort another saint. This is God at work from start to finish. He's the God of all comfort. He's the source of all mercy and compassion. And so Paul tells us that we're accountable as stewards. When we go through trials and difficult times, it's our responsibility to help others going through the same kinds of situations. Turn to Psalm 34 for a minute. The Bible is full of encouraging words. And in Psalm 34, we have the testimony of David. And here is a whole psalm to encourage us in times of trouble. And you see, in Psalm 34, David has been there. He's been through difficult days. And now he's trying to pass on to us the comfort, the wisdom that God gave him in those difficult days. Verses 1 through 3. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." In verse 1, David states that he's determined to praise the Lord at all times. And obviously this psalm was written in a difficult time in David's life. And yet he's determined to praise the Lord, even if Saul was hunting him. Even if there was a bounty on his skin, David was determined to praise the Lord at all times. And this was an example for us. We can learn something from what David learned when he went through a trial. You don't have to murmur. We don't have to complain. In the midst of trial and tribulation, David was determined to praise the Lord. When the heat was on and Paul was beaten and bleeding and chained to the wall in prison, he sang praises unto God. And now David, in the midst of his difficult days, says, "Oh, praise the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. Join me in this." You see, he encouraged others to praise God in difficult days. And then in verse 4, David gives a personal testimony. "I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Now that's good to know in times of trouble. It's good to know that others who have been in difficult times prayed and God heard them, and God answered their prayer. He says in verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." God saved him out of his troubles. Verse 4, "God saved him and delivered him from all of his fears." Now notice that David states here that he was afraid. He had fears. He was admitting it. He was scared when Saul was chasing him. And it's encouraging to know that godly men like David were afraid too. that godly men like David had times when they were scared and he just cried out to God and God heard him. And because of what God did to him in his difficult times, he's passing this on for us. And it's good for us to know that God is able to deliver us from our fears and from fear itself. Verse 5, David says, "They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." The lowly looked unto David. Well, he was their example. He was the man after God's own heart. And here there were many people who looked after him, and when they saw how David handled trial and tragedy in his life, they were encouraged, they were lightened, their eyes just lit up. It's a great encouragement to hear that other people have been in difficult times and they made it. They endured, they were faithful, they persevered. Imagine how discouraging it would be for God's people not to have any example of people who faced difficult times and endured. Imagine if all we had in the Bible were men like Lot. If all we had in the Bible were half the story of Abraham's life, when he went down to Egypt when he was afraid, or when he lied about his wife's identity when he was afraid. If we only had those stories in the Bible, they'd be true. They'd be 100% accurate. But how discouraging it would be. We need to know that other men have been there too. And they faced difficult times. And they endured. And that's just what David is telling us here in verse 5. You see, David's faithful endurance brought hope to others. Just as Paul said, many of the brethren, when he was in jail, Paul said that many of the brethren saw him and how he was enduring and persevering even in jail. And he said they waxed confident and it increased their boldness to preach for Christ. In verse 7, David tells us, "And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." You see what David is doing in this psalm? He's saying, in effect, I've been in very difficult times. And when I was there, I prayed and God helped me. When I was there, I prayed and God enabled me to be... He reminded me that the angel of the Lord camps about those who fear God. I don't have to be afraid. God delivered me from my fears. We need to be reminded in difficult times. What a great comfort it is. David was passing on the lessons that he learned to us. He didn't want to bury these valuable lessons. He wanted to share them. Turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66 in verse 8. In verse 8, the psalmist says, "O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard." So he encourages others to join with him in blessing and praising God. And he describes God in verse 9 as one who holds our soul in life, and he suffers not our feet to be moved. God is absolutely sovereign. He's got us in his hands. He holds our soul in our life. Verse 10, "This very God who is sovereign, who holds our life, also tests us," he says. "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." You've put us through the fires, the fiery furnace, and tried us and tested us. Those difficult days, the sovereign God allowed us. In verse 11, he says, "And you brought us through the net and laid affliction on our soul." God tests us in all kinds of ways. In verse 12, he says, "And you caused men to ride over our heads." God in his sovereignty allowed evil men to trample over the godly. We went through fire and through water. In other words, we've been through it all. We've been through the mill. And so to encourage us, he says, "But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." What a great word of encouragement that is. He's been there. He's been through it all. He was tried and tested, just like silver is tried. And in the end, he experienced the rich blessing of God. God brought him out into a wealthy place. You know, people enduring trial and tribulation need to be reminded that there's an end of that road of trouble and trial. That there is a wealthy place that God is leading us to. What a comfort to know that we can encourage others in that very same way. In verse 13, the psalmist says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I'll pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. And I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams, and I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. The psalmist wants to give thanks to God, first of all, for what he's done. But secondly, he wants everybody to know it. This is a valuable lesson that the psalmist learned here. And now he wants everybody to know what great things God did for him when he was in trials and difficult days. And because of that, he wrote a poem so that generations to come would learn from his experience. When we face the fires and the waters, when we face those difficult things, you see, God equipped these saints. God equipped the psalmists by allowing them to go through bitter, difficult days in their lives. And the lessons that God enabled them to learn, they passed on to us. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians. Now let's turn back there for a minute, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 4, Paul says that God comforts us in all our tribulation, and here's why, so that we might be able, we might be enabled, we might be equipped to comfort them which are in any trouble. So during trials, God wants us to think of others. And that's not easy to do when we're there. It's a lot easier to do after the trial's all over and you can look back on it. But God wants us to think of others in the midst of that trial so that we're able to comfort others. Usually when we go through troubles and trials, all we're thinking about is ourselves. Poor me. Why did this have to happen to me? And our attention is on self. And we want other people to pity us. We want other people to comfort us. And we want other people to minister and embrace us. And while that's all good and fine in its place, we do need that. But our attention shouldn't be on self. But that's all too often what happens. Sometimes when we're going through trials and it's difficult and people don't respond the way we think they ought and we don't get the pity, we don't get the compassion we think that we deserve, then we start pointing fingers at other people and thinking evil of others. Now when Paul describes how to deal with trials and troubles in our life, he goes straight past all of that. And he directs our attention away from self and to others. He's teaching us how to deal with trouble in our life. Because these trials are common to man, Paul tells us. And God allows us to suffer difficult experiences in life so that we can be better equipped to minister to others. So, do you want to be used of the Lord? Do you really want God to use you? Do you really want to be able to help other people? How willing are we to learn? Are we willing to submit to God's method of teaching and training us? Are we willing to submit to His training program that we might be more effective ministers for Him? That's a difficult question to answer. Because God's school is tough. Are we willing to go through trials and difficult situations in life and deal with them in a right way, in a godly way, in a holy way, so that we can better minister to other people? Or, in the midst of trials, do we look inward and become self-centered and throw a pity party and start griping and complaining about God and other people so that we become bitter instead of better and useless in the Lord's service? You see, it matters a lot how we deal with trials, how we deal with trouble in our life. When we go through trials, God wants us to remember. When you were there, when you were on that sick bed, when you were out of work, when you faced those family problems, when you had your children turn away from the Lord, just remember what it was that really helped you in those days so that you can help others. Remember also what it was that really hurt. Those things that people said to you that really pierced into your heart so that you never do that to someone else. Remember the kinds of things that you wish people would have done, but they just didn't know what you needed. They didn't know what you needed to hear. They didn't know what would help. Remember those little deeds that really meant a lot to you in those days. And do it for someone else. Remember the kinds of comments that hurt. In other words, when we're going through the lessons, pay attention. God's teaching me when I'm going through trouble. God's teaching you when you're going through trouble. And yes, the comfort God gives us, the helpful words, the kind deeds, they're all a great source of comfort to me or to you when we're going through the trial. But don't forget the greater lesson that we can help others down the road. Now notice in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." In this verse, Paul tells us that our sufferings in life are going to abound. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and they will be many. In fact, the word for abound here means overflowing, above the ordinary. It means to be in excess. And let's face it, in our lives, I'm sure there have been troubles that we've faced that seem excessive, just too much, overwhelming. And yet, doesn't God promise that there will never be more than we can bear? That's what Paul wrote. And look what he says here, that as the sufferings of Christ abound and they're excessive and they're overwhelming, they seem more than we can ever handle. Just remember on the other side of verse 5, he says, "And so our consolation also aboundeth." He's giving us a little comparison here. For as and so. It's a comparison in which the second element matches the first. And he's saying that no matter how deep the waters get, no matter how many trials, how overwhelming it may seem, no matter how much we're abounding in the sufferings, the comfort will be abounding as well. God's grace is sufficient for whatever depth of trial he allows us to endure. But you know, when it comes to God's comfort, we have to avail ourselves of it. There's an awful lot of comfort that God has already provided for, just waiting for us in those days of trouble. But it's like water in the well. You have to scoop it out. God has given us the Word of God. What a source of comfort that is. We have the most godly men throughout all of history. The most godly men and women. And we have their personal testimonies. How God worked in their life in very difficult situations. And how they came through as gold. And they've recorded some of the lessons they've learned from us. There is a wealth of comfort in God's Word. But you know what happens too often when we're going through difficult days? Put our Bible down. We don't need that. We're mad at God. We're angry because we have to face this. We're upset. And so we don't read our Bible. And we're starving ourselves from the very thing we need the most when we need it the most. And God also tells us that prayer is a great source of comfort. In difficult days, we're in all times, in fact, we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. And God gives us the mercy. And He gives us the grace to help in time of need. But we have to come. We have to come to the throne of grace in prayer. And what comfort abounds through the fellowship of the saints. But if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we get zero. And unfortunately, too many believers forsake the assembling of themselves together when they need it the most. God tells us, no matter how big our trials are, no matter how much suffering we're called to endure, no matter how much it's abounding, God's comfort is going to abound. You see, when we feel like we're overwhelmed, we're over our heads in the deep waters, it's only up to God's ankles. He's a big God. And He knows how to take care of His children. We need to remember that when we're in over our head and our suffering seems to be overwhelming, the greater our concept of God, the greater we'll be able to endure. And understand that God has a bigger purpose in our suffering than just the immediate. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a minute. In verse 10. Paul makes another contrast here. Remember, we're looking at the contrast. As our sufferings abound, God promises that so will His comfort abound. No matter how much suffering we're called to endure, there'll be plenty of comfort if we avail ourselves of it. And that's a promise. And look at how Paul experienced this in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. These men suffered greatly for their faith in Christ. They were bearing about in their bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. But notice also, the life of Jesus was made manifest in their mortal body also. You see, there was a counterbalance here between the suffering that they were called to endure, the difficult experiences in life that they, as representatives of Christ, were called to endure, were always matched by the wonderful blessing of Christ manifesting Himself through them. God's love, God's compassion, God's comfort, God's encouragement. You see, God's life was being manifest through them, equal to the sufferings, and more. And because Paul understood that, God allowed them to suffer. But as much as they suffered, they experienced to a deeper level the strength and compassion of Christ. And that's why Paul says, if you notice in verse 8, he says, we were troubled on every side, the kind of trouble that had caused many Christians to just go right over the cliff. But he says, we weren't distressed. We were troubled, but not distressed. He says, we were perplexed. We were so confused, some Christians would walk away from the Lord and want nothing to do with Him anymore. But we weren't in despair. We were persecuted, but not forsaken. We were cast down, but not destroyed. And it's because Paul understood this. That no matter how far God took them in the suffering, the consolation would match it and surpass it. The manifestation of Christ coming through him in those times was such a blessing to Paul. It was life to him. My life is Christ. We need to know that. It's encouraging to know that right when we're at our breaking point, there's help on the way. There's strength that we need to endure. And it's encouraging to know that when we get to that point in life, we don't have to fall apart. We don't have to quit. We don't have to throw in the towel. And that's just what Paul is getting at in chapter 4. We can be perplexed. We can be troubled, but we don't have to be cast down utterly. So back in chapter 1, Paul wants us to know that when we suffer, God's consolation and comfort is right there to equal it and surpass it. And he also wants us to know that if we really learn that lesson, we receive the comfort from God by submitting to his sovereign plan for our life. We fill our minds and hearts with God's word. We're in prayer. We're in fellowship with the other saints. We're learning from them. We're making this troubled time a learning experience. So that when somebody else goes through that same kind of trouble, we can be right there to help. And nobody in the world will be equipped as well as you to help in that certain situation. And when you do help, it's God's comfort working through you. You see, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And here, Paul tells us what God's good pleasure is. It's to comfort other Christians. It's to help them persevere. And it's God using you as a yielded vessel to minister to someone else. Turn to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 6, Paul wrote, "Nevertheless, God, who comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Who did the comforting here? Was it Titus who comforted them? Yes. Titus came and he was a great comfort. But notice the subject of the verb here. It was God who comforted them through Titus. Titus was the messenger. Titus was the vessel. God was the source of the comfort. He was just a channel, a tool in God's hands. And that's just exactly what Paul is telling us. Look in verse 4. Paul says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you," in chapter 7 that is, "great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful," because I didn't have to go through the trial? No. "In my tribulation." Now that's an amazing statement. Paul says, in the middle of my tribulation, I was filled with comfort. There was no room for anything else. He was just saturated with God's comfort. And it's because God was using a man like Titus. And in fact, Paul was experiencing the joy of the Lord in the midst of that trouble and trial. Trouble is for everybody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul said that there hath no temptation or testing or tribulation or trouble or trial that we face that is not common to men. Every one of us face this. We face the death of loved ones. We face disease. We face loss of a job. We face trials such as a spouse departing, kids going sour on the Lord, loss of income, houses burning down, particular horrible diseases that we're inflicted with. All of us are going to face some kind of trouble in this life, and God is teaching us. Because you know what? In 5 years from now, there are going to be people, new people, that just get saved and come into this church. And they're going to face something that's going to put them in a tailspin unless you're there to help them. Unless there's an older believer who's been through it before and knows what it's like to lose a loved one through death, knows what it's like to face cancer, knows what it's like to have their children go away from the Lord, and they know just what helps. They know what you need. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we really willing to let God use us? Are we really willing to help other people? If we are, then we need to submit to whatever kind of trouble God allows us to endure. And you know something? It really feels good to help. It really feels good to be helpful. It's a great thing. Jesus said it is more blessed to give, to be on the giving end, than it is to be on the receiving end. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. We'll never know how much good can be accomplished by a simple word of encouragement. A small, tiny, a little thing. A good deed done at just the right moment. I'm sure we all know somebody who needs encouragement. Well, let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge that your word gives us every time we open it. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of the lessons that you teach us. Father, help us to value them, help us to treasure them, and help us to pass them on to others, that others might grow in their faith as well. And we pray that it would all bring glory to Christ our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Turn to hymn 424. I like the illustration that Paul gives of the church, the illustration of the body and how it ministers.